بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين، وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، وبعد. فقد قال جل وعلا في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. تلك الدار الآخرة نجعلها للذين لا يريدون علوا في الأرض ولا فسادا والعاقبة للمتقين. وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم: إنما الأعمال بالنيات وإنما لكل امرئ ما نوى، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders, mothers and sisters, among the many advisors that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us through the Quran and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through the hadith is to always keep good intentions. As Muslims, our intentions, our endeavors should always be noble, should always be clean, should always be pure. Those sisters that are studying in this institution, there is a great consolation for a girl, for a student, for anyone acquiring the sciences of Islam. The hadith appears in Mishkat Sharif in the first volume, narrated on Hasan Basri Mursalan. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man ja'ahu al-mawtu wa huwa yatlubu al-ilma li yuhyi bihi al-Islam baynahu wa bayna an-nabiyyin darajatun wahida." If a person is engaged in the acquisition of the sciences of Islam and he or she happens to meet her fate and her death while studying the sciences of Islam, then for such a person is the consolation that their abode, their rank, their position will be one just below the prophets. One just below the prophets. Again, the key word in the hadith is, what is the motivation? What is the motivation? What is the intention behind it? Often today, we find a person gets married. Unfortunately, even after getting married, there is disloyalty, there is infidelity. Why? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when a person gets married, three people are in the care of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Three people are divinely in the care of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. النَّاكِحُ الَّذِي يُرِيدُ الْعَفَافِ. That bride or groom, that male or female who gets married with the primary aim of safeguarding their chastity, then Allah promises the fulfillment of that desire of theirs via the institution of marriage. But if a person gets married and his intention, her intention is not to protect their chastity, their morality, their integrity, then we see it happening before us, that people are married, yet unfortunately there is illicit relation, there is indulgence, there is evil. So what is the key word in the hadith? النَّاكِحُ الَّذِي يُرِيدُ الْعَفَافِ. A person who gets married with the primary aim that, oh my Allah, I want to be chaste, I want to live a life of morality, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make that possible. So whatever intention a person has, I was happy to know that mashallah many of the girls here are studying, and concurrently with the Islamic studies there is academic degrees as well. I often say to many sisters that phone from time to time and they say that, you know what, I want to pursue a degree and I want to have an Islamic degree, which is wonderful, it's great, it's meritorious, I want to have an academic degree. But sometimes a girl would say that the reason why I want to pursue an academic degree is that if along the life, while I'm married, things are not stable in my relation and my husband drops me, then at least I have some financial backup. And I often say that should never be the motivation of a sister. We think positive of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We plan good. We do not pursue an academic degree in the event I will be divorced, in the event I will be widowed. No, I have a passion to serve people. I have a desire to empower myself. That is wonderful. That is great. It's wholesome. Umm Salma radiallahu anha was one of the very few women who were literate in Makkah Mukarrama at the time when the general literacy levels were very low. كانت من النساء القليلات النادرات التي يكتبن في الجاهلية. We know in the pre-Islamic era, there was a handful of people that were literate.
Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was divinely unlettered, and the wisdom of that has been explained and explored in the books of hadith. But among the handful of women that were literate, one was Umm Salma radiallahu anha. She was very intelligent, she was very learned, and she had a great level of literacy. Hafiz ibn Qayyim rahmatullah alayhi says, one side was her literacy, her academic literacy. Furthermore, her Islamic verdicts were so profound that he says, if you gather the Islamic fatawa of Umm Salma radiallahu anha, it will perhaps be the greatest and the richest legacy of any woman in the annals of Islamic history. So here you have an amazing woman, Umm Salma radiallahu anha, on both fronts. So the point I'm saying to you, my sister, is at all times keep your intention clean. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge us by our intention. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ الْحَسَنَاتِ وَالسَّيِّئَاتِ ثُمَّ بَيَّنَ ذَلِكَ فَمَنْ هَمَّ بِحَسَنَةٍ فَلَمْ يَعْمَلْهَا كُتِبَتْ لَهُ حَسَنَةٌ كَامِلَةٌ. You did the hadith, it appears in Riyadh al-Salihin as well. If a person sincerely intends good, if a person sincerely intends good, and due to circumstances he or she cannot live up to that good, but the intention was honest, was sincere, was wholesome, was pure, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward that woman proportionate to her intention. There is a hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ سَأَلَ اللَّهَ الشَّهَادَةَ بِصِدْقٍ بَلَّغَهُ اللَّهُ مَنَازِلَ الشُّهَدَى وَإِنْ مَاتَ عَلَى فِرَاشِهِ. That if a person sincerely asks Allah for the death of a martyr, Allah will elevate him to the rank of martyrs, even if he dies on his bed. Even if he dies on his bed. The point I am illustrating and emphasizing and harping on is, keep noble endeavors at mind. In the hadith of Bukhari, just as positively it has good effect, the negative implications are equally devastating. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, before Qiyamah, a time will come where killing will become common. لا يدري القاتل فيما قتل ولا المقتول فيما قتل. The murderer won't know why he's murdering. The murdered won't know why he's been murdered. كلاهما في النار. Both will go to hell. Both will go to hell. Sahaba said, O Nabi of Allah, we can understand the crime of the murderer. But what is the offense of the murdered? Is he not an innocent party? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّهُ كَانَ حَدِيثًا عَلَىٰ قَتْلِ صَاحِبِهِ. He had the equal intention of murdering. It's just that fate played out and he died before. Otherwise his aspiration was no different to the murderer, and he will be judged by his intention. Hence, despite being a victim to the brutality of the victor, dying at the hands of the murderer, but on the day of Qiyamah, their boat will be destined to hell given the evil intention with which he died. So that gives us an intention. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ أَخَذَ أَمْوَالَ النَّاسِ يُرِيدُ أَدَاءَهَا أَدَّ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. One hadith I want to quote on this regard, speaking about before Qiyamah. It's a very lengthy hadith, but one portion of it, an extract of that hadith is, when Iraq was conquered and some spoils of the war were brought, so they were presented before Umar radiallahu anhu. And among the spoils of the war, there was a particular meal, a delicacy, a sweet meal. فَعُرِضَ عَلَيْهِ فِي الْغَنَائِمْ سِلَالٌ مِّنْ أَنْوَاعِ الْخَبِيثِ مِّنْ أَصْفَرْ وَأَحْمَرْ. From the food and the things that were presented, there was some sweet meat, red and yellow sweet meat that was presented before Umar radiallahu anhu. فَذَاقَهُ, Umar radiallahu anhu tasted it. فَوَجَدَهُ طِيبَ الرِّيحِ طِيبَ الطَّعْمِ. Umar radiallahu anhu found it to be tasty, it was palatable, it was scrumptious, it was wonderful. And then he said, listen, يَا مَعْشَرَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ لَيَقْتُلَنَّ مِنْكُمُ الْإِبْنُ أَبَاهُ وَالْأَخُ أَخَاهُ عَلَىٰ هَذَا الطَّعَامِ. By Allah, a time will come, a son will kill his father to secure this meal, and a brother will slay his brother and his sibling to eat this very food. Keep me away from this food. Keep me away from this food. Then he said, take this food. ثم أمر به فحمل إلى أولاد من قتلوا بين يدي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من المهاجرين والأنصار. He said, if there's anybody deserving of this food, then it is the children of those people whose fathers were martyred with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in the battles. Give it to their children. I don't want to get myself into this here. For food like this, a brother will kill his sibling And the explicit word is, a son will slay his father. Again, another hadith about the nobility of intention. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من أخذ أموال الناس يريد أداءها أدى الله عنه. If a person in life has to ever borrow circumstances, money, but his intention is, I want to pay. He's clean, he's noble, his intentions are clean. Because in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about, and this is in particular for men in business, and that Allah ta'ala signals a warning, a very, very stern warning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about three categories of people who violate their promises. Initially, a person makes a contract, gives a word, in whatever way. You give your word, Islam tells you, honor your word. وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّتِي نَقَضَتْ غَزْلَهَا مِنْ بَعْدِ قُوَّةٍ أَنْكَاثَا تَتَّخِذُونَ أَيْمَانَكُمْ دَخَلًا بَيْنَكُمْ أَنْ تَكُونَ أُمَّةٌ هِيَ أَرْبَى مِنْ أُمَّةٍ وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّتِي. There was a woman in Mecca that was mentally disadvantaged. She had some mental disorder. Mentally she was impaired. So what she used to do, she had some wool and she used to knit. She used to sew. And when she used to complete a garment by the evening, she had knit it, then she would break it into pieces. So whole day she will knit, she will sew, she will put together something, and just when she is about done with it, that's the time she will break it into pieces. Now obviously she was mentally impaired, so that's why she did it. There's no logical explanation. She has a mental disorder. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala signal a word of caution from her life, that let it not be you give someone your word, like you let in, you sow in, you contract in, you finalize in, you conclude in, and when you're at the last straw and you're about to wrap up the whole thing, you break it into pieces. You break it into shreds. وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّتِي نَقَضَتْ غَزْلَهَا مِنْ بَعْدِ قُوَّةٍ أَنْكَاثَا تَتَّخِذُونَ أَيْمَانَكُمْ دَخَلًا بَيْنَكُمْ أَنْ تَكُونَ أُمَّةٌ هِيَ أَرْبَى مِنْ أُمَّةٍ إِنَّمَا يَبْلُوكُمُ اللَّهُ بِهِ. Allah says, verily He will test you. That means after you've committed yourself, you always will be presented with the most striking option. Whether it's business, whether it's marriage, whether it's otherwise. As soon as you've given your word, here comes the tempting offer. Here comes something more striking, more appealing, more convincing, more wholesome, more tempting in its approach. But remember, إِنَّمَا يَبْلُوكُمُ اللَّهُ بِهِ. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam proposed for Aisha radiallahu anha, I mean, imagine this. What a privilege. Prior to that, some person had already made some indications that he was interested in getting married to Aisha radiallahu anha. The narration is mentioned in Sirat al-Mustafa of Mawlana Idris Kandalwi rahmatullahi alayhi. Look at the integrity of Abu Bakr. You have the proposal of Allah's Nabi at your door. You would cancel any proposal to welcome such an offer. He tells Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I am elated, I am overwhelmed, I am so excited that you will be my son-in-law. I cannot ask for better. But O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, someone has already given an indication. I have to first find out from him if he still wants to pursue his intentions with my daughter. If his intentions are there, then I'm compelled by a verbal contract to honor this year. And if he withdraws, then I cannot explain my honor for you being married to my daughter. Obviously this was the divine plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Aisha radiallahu anha was going to be married to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this honor and this privilege was kept in the favor of Aisha radiallahu anha. So Abu Bakr then called that person and asked him that, listen, I've received a fresh proposal on behalf of my daughter, and I need to know where you stand. Do you still have your interest? Are you still intending getting married or not? And then obviously he said, no, I have declined and I no longer intend pursuing my relation. And thereafter Aisha radiallahu anha got married to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But I'm saying, look at the level of integrity. Look at the level of discipline. The level of commitment to the honor that was made. The word that was given was honored, was respected. So that is the one aspect where you gave your word and then you went against it. And thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about a more severe condition. وَلَا تَتَّخِذُوا أَيْمَانَكُمْ دَخَلًا بَيْنَكُمْ فَتَذِلَّ قَدَمٌ بَعْدَ ثُبُوتِهَا وَتَذُوقُ السُّوءَ بِمَا صَدَدْتُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. This applies to everyone. And Allah says, do not be like those. وَلَا تَكُونُوا. Do not be like those that at the time of contracting, at the time of promising, at that very time your intention is to violate that promise of yours. Not as a subsequent development because you were given a better temptation. So one is you give someone your word, you intend to honor it, and then somebody else came and gave you a better option, and you got tempted with it. The second is more grave, more severe, more devastating, more serious. And that is you are giving someone a promise, but in your heart you know you're going to violate it. The only reason you are promising him is to secure the deal, to secure whatever you want to do. The Quran says, فَتَذِلَّ قَدَمٌ بَعْدَ ثُبُوتِهَا. There is fear, your foot will slip after its firmness. In Ma'riful Quran it is written, it means there is fear you will lose your iman. You will lose your iman. So I'm saying, at all times we need to keep good intentions. Obviously, there is a difference with you, my sister, that once you study Islamic knowledge, coupled with academic knowledge, but your outlook of Islam is that with the lenses of a Muslim woman. Your vision, your approach, your interaction is that with the priorities of a Muslim woman. Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul had 6 slave girls, young girls, and he used to compel them to indulge in immorality. You know, in forms of immorality and obscene behavior, where they were compelled to sell their honor to strange men. This is what he used to do. In Madarikut Tanbih, the names of these girls are also mentioned. Ma'adha, Maysara, and many other girls, 6 girls. When they accepted Islam, immediately they refused. And they said, we are now Muslims, and we want to live a chaste life. As Muslim women, we cannot do this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then revealed the verse, وَلَا تُكْرِهُوا فَتَيَاتِكُمْ عَلَى الْبِغَاءِ إِنْ أَرَدْنَ تَحَصُّنًا لِتَبْتَغُوا عَرَضَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَمَنْ يُكْرِهُنَّ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ مِنْ بَعْدِ إِكْرَاهِهِنَّ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ وَلَا تُكْرِهُوا فَتَيَاتِكُمْ. And do not compel your slave girls towards immorality and fornication. إِنْ أَرَدْنَ تَحَصُّنًا. When they want to fortify and insulate themselves by virtue of their morality and their character and their beauty. So as Muslim sisters, we might have the academic qualifications coupled with an Islamic knowledge to have that Islamic approach, to have that Islamic identity. Where this woman Asma radiallahu anha asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Asma bint Zayd, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we are the woman, we sit at home, we take care of our children, we take care of the interests of our husbands, we see to their physical needs, we provide for them, and they have 4 privileges over us. وَقَدْ فُضِّلُوا بِالْجُمْعَةِ وَشُهُودٍ جَنَائِزٍ. They have Jum'ah with them, they have janaza in their life, then they also strive in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all these privileges, they can go for Jum'ah Salah, they can go for Jama'at, for congregational prayer, they can go for Janaza, they can attend the funeral, and they can go in the path of Allah. 4 jeans. We are deprived of this here. We sit at home, we are denied this opportunity. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, convey my salams to her. And he asked the Sahaba first, have you ever heard of a woman asking a more intelligent question than this woman? Have you ever heard of a more profound question being echoed by her sister? And Sahaba said, no, Nabi of Allah, we've never heard. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I salute your question. I salute your question. I really compliment the manner in which what you've asked. That these 4 things we don't have. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verse, لِلْرِجَالِ نَصِيبٌ مِّمَّا اكْتَسَبُوا وللنساء نصيب مما اكتسبن واسألوا الله من فضله إن الله كان بكل شيء عليما.
For the men is the reward of what they have done. For the women is the reward of what they have done.
وَلَا تَتَمَنَّوْا مَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بِهِ بَعْضَكُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ.
And do not aspire for the privileges that Allah has identified exclusively with a selective gender.
For the men is what they will do, for the woman is what they will do.
There are certain things Allah has given to a woman. A man cannot have the reward of giving birth. A man cannot have the reward of nursing a child. A man cannot have the reward of the pains of pregnancy because he cannot contend with it. In the same way, a woman cannot have those things in their own ways.
وَلَا تَتَمَنَّوْا مَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بِهِ بَعْضَكُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ.
On a lighter note, it is written in the tafsir that the woman said, we hope from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that just as the men first said, our inheritance in this world is double of that of the woman. So we hope from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala our reward in Jannah will also be double of the woman. So whoever won with woman.
So the woman said, we make dua to Allah, just as our inheritance is half of the men, our punishment and our sins will also be half of the men in Akhirah.
If our inheritance is half here, inshallah our punishment and our wrong and our vice will also be half of that of the men in Akhirah.
وَلَا تَتَمَنَّوْا مَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بِهِ بَعْضَكُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ فِي الرِّجَالِ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا اكْتَسَبُوا وَلِلنِّسَاءِ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا اكْتَسَبْنَ.
Again, coming back to the point that I was discussing, and I want to focus on this theme here, is in life the need of keeping clean intentions. You deal with anyone, deal with a clean intention. You enter an institution, enroll with a good intention. If your heart is clean, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring the clean result and effect of that back to you. The hadith Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ أَخَذَ أَمْوَالَ النَّاسِ يُرِيدُ أَدَاءَهَا أَدَّ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. If a person borrows money with the intention of paying, Allah will make divine arrangements for the payment of that. But if you borrow and your intention is not to pay people, then Allah will destroy that wealth. There is a hadith in Bukhari Sharif that a person had borrowed money from someone in the previous nations. And the time came to pay the person back. Now, he came out, he needed to cross the river, but there was no boat. The hadith appears in Bukhari Sharif. There was no boat to cross. How does he sail across? So he took a piece of plank of wood. He dug it inside, made it a little hollow. He put the money inside and closed it. And he left this to sail on the bank. Left this to sail on the water. And he said, Allah, I promise this man, he will be anticipating my money. It is right, it is due. Perhaps he has commitments to honor because of the promise I have made. I don't have means to get to him, O Allah. You make arrangements that this money reaches the rightful owner, O Allah. And he left this piece of plank to sail. Now I often say we think we have internet banking. This was water banking. Electronic transfers. And that also, if the computers are down. Sorry sir, there's nothing I can do. Power system is down, computers are down. So it just comes to a halt. And from time to time, Allah shows us our feebleness, our inability, how dependent we are as creatures. If one power shut down and it brings a halt to the entire city, nothing is operating, no flight is taking off, no bank is operating, no transfer is happening manually, electronically, nothing. Power is down, complete, there is a drop. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds the humankind and the human race of his or her feebleness and how instantly Allah can take everything.
قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ سَمْعَكُمْ وَأَبْصَارَكُمْ وَخَتَمَ عَلَى قُلُوبِكُمْ مَنْ إِلَهٌ غَيْرُ اللَّهِ يَأْتِيكُمْ بِهِ قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ أَتَاكُمْ عَذَابُ اللَّهِ بَغْتَةً أَوْ جَهْرَةً هَلْ يُهْلَكُ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. قل أرأيتم إن جعل الله عليكم الليل سرمدا إلى يوم القيامة. Allah says in different places, قل أرأيتم إن أصبح ماؤكم غورا فمن يأتيكم بماء معين. Say unto them, O Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if I decide the water must go so deep into the earth that none of them has access, who will give you water? Say unto them, O Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if I instantly decide to seize your vision and bar your urine, who will restore your faculties? Say unto them, O Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in atakum adabullahi baghtatan aw jahra, if the torment of Allah has to grip you suddenly, openly or secretly, then who will able to combat it? Say to them, أَفَأَمِنَ الَّذِينَ مَكَرُوا السَّيِّئَاتِ أَنْ يَقْصِفَ اللَّهُ بِهِمُ الْأَرْضَ أَوْ يَأْتِيَهُمُ الْعَذَابُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ أَوْ يَأْخُذَهُمْ فِي تَقَلُّبِهِمْ فَمَا هُمْ بِمُعْجِزِينَ. Say unto them, I can grip them, I can seize them in their movements to and fro. So a person is walking, suddenly there's a sharp pain, and then it persists, and it becomes excruciating, and then he goes, oh, and they say, oh, you know what, there's a tumor, it's malignant, oh, we'll have to operate. Oh, but it was just a start, started off with a simple pain. Oh, يَأْخُذَهُمْ فِي تَقَلُّبِهِمْ. I can grip them, تَقَلَّبَ يَتَقَلَّبُ in their movements, while walking, while jogging, while working. فَمَا هُمْ بِمُعْجِزِينَ. They cannot weaken me. أَوْ يَأْخُذَهُمْ عَلَى تَخَوُّفٍ. Umar radiallahu anhu used to say, "Ay ala tanaffus." I can seize them gradually. So it doesn't come one time, it happens gradually. You don't feel it. Gradually Allah takes your health. Gradually Allah takes your wealth. By the time you realize a millionaire has become a pauper and health of active man has become bedridden. So anyway, this man puts his money and it sells. That man comes out, the owner, the creditor, and he anticipates, he sees this little wood sailing about, he gets to it, opens it up, subhanAllah, there's a note there, his money is there, he's all excited, he's all elated. I often say, anytime you pay a person, it's right back. Anytime you go and pay a man, it's right back. And anytime you go and ask for your money, it's wrong back. In the beginning of the month, oh, I'm dry, you know, the business is quiet. Middle of the month, I do all my banking. End of the month, I've got my merchants. So, you know how it is. So anytime you collect your money, it's wrong time. Anytime you pay someone, it's perfect time. Human nature is like that. He takes his money, he's happy. Sometimes later these two meet up, he says, my brother, I'm so sorry. I owed you money. The day I wanted to come, I wanted to give it to you. But you know what? I didn't have access. He says, no, but your money reached me safe and sound. What are you talking? And these are the words of Nabi alayhi salam in Bukhari. We don't doubt the words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We doubt what our eyes see. We doubt what our eyes see. We doubt what our ears hear. We do not doubt what Allah's Nabi has said. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, every day in the morning when we rise, all the organs collectively plead before the tongue. Whether I can hear it or not, fathom it or not, comprehend it or not, Allah's Nabi said it, I believe it. All the organs plea before the tongue. And they say to the tongue, we are at your mercy. إِنْ إِسْتَقَمْتَ إِسْتَقَمْنَا وَإِنْ إِحْوَجَجْتَ إِحْوَجَجْنَا. If you will utter a good word, then our day will go peaceful. And our day you blurt the wrong and we have to contend with the consequences. The level of submission that Abu Bakr and Umar had on the words of Nabi alayhi salam was phenomenal. Nabi alayhi salam said in the previous nations, a person was mounted onto a cow. And he started riding a cow. So the cow said, I have not been created as a mode of transport. So the Sahaba were around, they said, O Nabi of Allah, did we understand you correctly? You said the cow spoke. SubhanAllah, Baqaratun tatakallam. Did I get the right side? Nabi Sassim said, if you have reservation, or you are apprehensive, good luck to you, and you can do what you feel. I know my Abu Bakr and Umar have accepted it without questioning it. And the beauty part, Abu Bakr and Umar were not present. I know my Abu Bakr and Umar have accepted it. Abu Jahl heard that the Prophet ﷺ made Mi'raj direct from Allah's Nabi. Allah's Nabi told him, he denied it. Abu Bakr heard from Abu Jahl, directed it to Nabi alayhi salam, he accepted it. When the incident of Mi'raj happened, Abu Jahl was happy, like, now we got ammunition. Now look at what your man is talking. Now look at what foolish things he is blurting, wal-hiyadu billah. So now I'm going to defeat Abu Bakr. What did he say? He says in a portion of the night, he's gone to the heavens. And sister, if you do Arabic grammar in Quran, you will know. Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi laylan minal masjid. On the word layl, there is nakira of that tanwil. Ay, shay'in yaseer minal layl. In a very small portion of the night, not in the entire night. Through the Arabic grammar, we understand this here. But Abu Jahl said that Allah's Nabi said it, immediate compliance, immediate submission. So what Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us, wholeheartedly we accept it. We have no doubt in it. Mu'adh radiallahu anhu used to say, إِنَّكُمْ أُبْتُلِيتُمْ بِفِتْنَةِ الضَّرَّى فَصَبَرْتُمْ وَإِنِّي أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ فِتْنَةِ السَّرَّى ألا وهي النساء إذا تحلين بالذهب ولبسن ريط الشام وعصب اليمن فأتعبن الغني وكلفن الفقير ما لا يطيق. Then, oh you group of Sahaba, Allah tested you with poverty, you persevered. But I'm telling you, there is a great test of prosperity. Adversity, Allah tested you, you persevered. Then comes the test of prosperity. And I'm referring to women. And I'm referring to your wives and your daughters. إذا تحلين بالذهب ولبسن ريط الشام وعصب اليمن. Who will insist on wearing the fine garments? Who will insist on wearing the exclusive garments? فأتعبن الغني وكلفن الفقير. These women will tire the poor husband and burden the wealthy husband. فأتعبن الغني وكلفن الفقير ما لا يطيق. Anyway, again I'm saying, in every intention of ours, in every endeavor of ours, we have good intentions. Remember, sister, the hadith that I quoted is the opening hadith of Mishkat Sharif as well. Umar radiallahu anhu narrated, and that is pertaining to the nobility of intention, that a person made hijrat, but he made hijrat to get married. Muhajir Umm Qais. He made hijrat. Now, hijrat is such a great virtue that Nabi alayhi salam said, أَمَا عَلِمْتَ أَنَّ الْهِجْرَةَ تَهْدِمُ مَا كَانَ قَبْلَهَا. That when you migrate, Allah forgives all your sins. But he migrated for the sake of woman. His intention was not for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His intentions were otherwise. So he had to endure all the difficulties. He had to endure all the difficulties. But effectively there was no reward. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, before Qiyamah, people of my ummah will go to Umrah for every reason but the correct reason. For every intention but the correct intention. تَحُجُّ أَغْنِيَاءُ أُمَّتِي لِلتَّنَزُّهِ وَأَوْسَاطُهُمْ لِلتِّجَارَةِ وَقُرَّاؤُهُمْ لِلرِّيَاءِ وَالسُّمْعَةِ وَفُقَرَاؤُهُمْ لِلْمَسْأَلَةِ. Nabi alayhi salam said, a time will come, the wealthy of my ummah will make Mecca and Medina a place of relaxing, unwinding and entertainment. Go have a break. Last year we went to Paris, this year we're going to Saudi for a break. تَحُجُّ أَغْنِيَاءُ أُمَّتِي لِلتَّنَزُّهِ وَأَوْسَاطُهُمْ لِلتِّجَارَةِ. And the middle class will go to Mecca and Medina for business, commerce and trade. وَقُرَّاؤُهُمْ لِلرِّيَاءِ وَالسُّمْعَةِ. And the learned will go for fame and recognition. My numbers are the biggest, my groups are the largest, my followers are the most, my agency is the best. وَفُقَرَاؤُهُمْ لِلْمَسْأَلَةِ. And the poor of my ummah will converge on the plains of Arafah to beg from the whole world other than Allah. I'm afraid today there is no nobility of intention. Everybody has ulterior motives. There is no cleanliness of intention. Umar radiallahu anhu said, مَنْ أَظْهَرَ مِنْكُمْ خَيْرًا ظَنَنَّا بِهِ خَيْرًا وَأَحْبَبْنَاهُ عَلَيْهِ وَمَنْ أَظْهَرَ مِنْكُمْ شَرًّا ظَنَنَّا بِهِ شَرًّا وَأَبْغَضْنَاهُ عَلَيْهِ صَرَائِرُكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ وَبَيْنَ رَبِّكُمْ. Whoever will deal with me with a clean intention, I will deal with him with a clean intention. And whoever will deal with me with an evil intention, I will be compelled to deal with him accordingly. I will be compelled by circumstances. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of an incident in the Quran of few brothers. The Mufassirin say this orchard was in Yemen and Sana'a, the capital. Some say it was Habsha, Abyssinia. There is speculation of its precise location. Be it as it may, the incident is mentioned in the Quran Kareem in Surah Noon in the 29th Juz. There was this father who had this orchard of his. who had this harvest, this farm, this plantation of his. And he was a very good man, he was a very kind man, he was a very decent person. He had wonderful things. Every time he used to harvest his crops, the poor people used to come. And routinely he used to give them a share. He used to give them. As soon as it was time to harvest the crops, the poor used to come over, give them some crops. And then he used to take the others home, some for his family, others in the marketplace. And the man lived his life and moved on. The poor got, his family ate, and life moved on. When the old man died and the children inherited, the youngsters thought they were smart. They thought they were wise. They thought they knew better than the old man. So they said, no, this is not on. It's against our business understanding. It's against our operation. It's against our mechanism. It's against the way we operate as business people. So what they decided is now nobody will get free. Anybody wants, he must come to the marketplace and he must buy. But what we'll do is we'll go harvest late night, early morning before the beggars realize. So by the time they will come, it will be harvested, they will find nothing. And someone must just refer them to the marketplace. Now listen here, what I'm saying, my sister, is evil of intention. They haven't yet done anything. Pollution, contamination has set into their intentions. But this has a ripple effect in the other world of Allah that unfolds. One is my world where I and you and I live and we do things. But in the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala where decisions are made, that translates into a different form. It comes out into a different shape. The Quran says about it, فَانْتَلَقُوا وَهُمْ يَتَخَافَتُونَ. They advanced while they were whispering. They were so particular that they didn't want the poor people to hear, so they started whispering. التخافت in Arabic means to whisper. أَلَّا يَدْخُلَنَّهَا الْيَوْمَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِسْكِينَ. No poor person is going to come. My father did it that these days. Life has changed. Things have evolved. You're living in the new 21st century. Move up to the times. It's the era of innovation. أَلَّا يَدْخُلَنَّهَا الْيَوْمَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِسْكِينَ وَغَدَوْا عَلَىٰ حَرْبٍ قَادِرِينَ. That night, before they could come, Allah sent a divine fire that burned the entire garden, farm and orchards. Complete. Allah reduced it to smithereens. But that's not all. The Quran says, وَغَدَوْا عَلَىٰ حَرْبٍ قَادِرِينَ. They advance, convinced that they will deny the poor. Qadir, we in control. It's ours. How many places Allah says in the Quran? إِنَّمَا مَثَلُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا كَمَا إِنْ أَنْزَلْنَاهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ فَاخْتَلَطَ بِهِ نَبَاتُ الْأَرْضِ مِمَّا يَأْكُلُ النَّاسُ وَالْأَنْعَامُ حتى إذا أخذت الأرض زخرفها وزينت وظن أهلها أنهم قادرون عليها أتاها أمرنا ليلا أو نهارا. Allah says, oh man, you are so weak. The example of this world is like a garden. The rain came down, and the vegetation grew, and the crops were ready to be harvested, and the farmer felt it's my prime time and I'm in control. Or a student graduates and it is his graduation ceremony and he thinks today is my V-Day. Or this couple were planning to get married and today is their wedding day. I read now in the newspaper while I was flying tragically about the plane in Pakistan that crashed. May Allah make it easy for the victims and give Jannah to the Muslims among them who have passed away. Among them was a newly wed couple that were on their honeymoon. A newly wed. What must have been their aspirations? What must have been their desires? They got married the day before they boarded that flight. This was part of their holiday. This was part of their honeymoon. Fate came the way Allah decided differently. Allah says, the ayat kareemah, that you think you're in control, you think you're in authority. Today is my day. I bought over this company. They will be giving me the keys. I will be entering. Today I will be sworn into office. I will be sworn into parliament. I will be sworn into a position. أَتَاهَا أَمْرُنَا لَيْلًا أَوْ نَهَارًا. Allah says, that very night I decide differently. And I destroy you and your plot and your place completely. وَلَا يَخَافُ عُقَبَاهَا. And I don't fear how the creation will interpret my decisions. I don't fear how the creation will interpret my decision. Anyone in this world, regardless of his political power and strength, has to accommodate how my statement will play out to the masses, will play out in the political arena, will play out in the broader world. Will people accept it wholeheartedly? Allah said, وَلَا يَخَافُ عُقَبَاهَا. I don't care what you will say. And I don't care how you will react to it. I will decide what I have to decide. So Allah destroyed this entire farm. The children are going. When they come to this orchard, again, what was it? My key point, evil of intention. Contamination in their endeavors. Pollution in their intent. It was destroyed in such a way that for a moment they thought that actually this is somebody else's farm. This is the Quran says. These are not my explanation. فَلَمَّا رَأَوْهَا قَالُوا إِنَّا لَضَالُّونَ. Their instant reaction, impulsive reaction, oh sorry man, it's night and we're not seeing properly. We've actually come to the neighbor's farm. We just want to go back and make sure we go to our farm. فَلَمَّا رَأَوْهَا قَالُوا إِنَّا لَضَالُّونَ بَلْ نَحْنُ مَحْرُومُونَ. They looked back, they said, no, this is not the neighbor's farm, this is our own farm. Now, the middle brother, he was anti this idea. And he told them, you know what, don't make evil intentions, don't do this. But obviously, they overpowered him and he had to succumb and he told the lie. But now when he seen the ruination and the destruction, he obviously got on and said, I've been telling you people, you know what, let's not make these evil intentions. قَالَ أَوْسَتُهُمْ أَلَمْ أَقُلْ لَكُمْ لَوْلَا تُسَبِّحُونَ قَالُوا سُبْحَانَ رَبِّنَا إِن كُنَّا لَظَالِمِينَ. Immediately they confess, oh Allah, we've realized the evil effect of our intentions. We've realized the evil effect of our intentions. So what I'm saying to you, my brother and my sister, is you are here learning the knowledge of deen here. In every venture of life, keep clean intentions. The barakat of that will be wholesome. And Allah will give you good reward. Another very important thing is, when we make intentions, we must honor them. Once one brother gave me an incident of his. He said there was a collection drive or some tragedy that had happened. So this was back home in South Africa. So anyway, throughout the week they've been making announcements that on Friday after Jummah there will be a collection campaign for a particular earthquake or floods or whatever it is for the victims of that place. He said, in my heart I decided I will give 1,000 rand. 1,000 rand, you're looking at just about 150 US dollars. I said I will give inshallah. That's my intention I've made. Anyway, came Friday and they came around to say that, you know what, there's a collection drive taking place here, please come forward and donate. So I seen somebody gave $10, someone gave $20. So I thought to myself, even if I give 50, I will still be the king here. Even if I give 50, I'm still going to reign supreme here. You know what? Because people are giving 5, 10. So I changed my mind and I dropped to $50. And in my mind, I thought to myself, I've saved myself a good 100. I've saved myself a good 100. This is what I had intended for. I changed and I'm clean and I still gave the most. People are, mashallah, you know, you gave good. He said, I barely came out and my son drove and he smashed the car before I got home, which cost me much, much more. And then I repented to Allah and I said, Allah, if I've ever made an intention with you, I will honor it. If I have ever made an intention with you in my life, my Allah, I will honor my intention, I will value my intention, and I will not violate my intention. تِلْكَ الدَّارُ الْآخِرَةُ نَجْعَلُهَا لِلَّذِينَ لَا يُرِيدُونَ عُلُوًا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فَسَادًا وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. تِلْكَ الدَّارُ, that abode in Jannah. تِلْكَ الدَّارُ نَجْعَلُهَا, we have kept it exclusively. لِلَّذِينَ لَا يُرِيدُونَ عُلُوًا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فَسَادًا. For those who don't have intentions of pride and arrogance in this world. For those who do not have evil intentions. لَا يُرِيدُونَ عُلُوًا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فَسَادًا وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. And the good abode is for the pious in Jannah. I'm going to mention one hadith and wrap it up. The hadith appears in Tirmidhi Sharif. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this hadith has literally drawn a graph. And he has categorized the entire world into one of four categories. And this again is the profoundness of the comprehensive and the wholesome nature of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he has given such a diagram that the entire world fits under this diagram into one or four categories. You cannot be outside this diagram. Now just imagine, this was Nabi alayhi salam's amazing mannerism of teaching, that the whole world fits into one or four diagrams. He said there are four types of people in this world. عَبْدٍ رَزَقَهُ اللَّهُ عِلْمًا وَمَالًا. One is that sister or brother whom Allah has given the knowledge of deed. My sisters, there is no word that can encapsulate the privilege that Allah has afforded you. Again, provided the intention is clean. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ عِلْمًا مِمَّا يُبْتَغَى بِهِ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ لَا يَتَعَلَّمُهُ إِلَّا لِيُسِيبَ بِهِ عَرَضًا مِنَ الدُّنْيَا لَمْ يَجِدْ عَرَفَ الْجَنَّةِ. If a sister or a brother acquires the sciences of Islam with the intention of getting material benefit, then such a person, despite all his knowledge, Allah will deprive him not only from paradise, from the fragrance of paradise also. On a lighter note, my youngest son, he was going to school the other day, so they asked him, what do you want to become in the world, you know, when you grow up? So he said, no, I want to become an alim, I want to become a mulana, an imam. I asked him why. He said, so nice, I see my dad, he flies around the whole world. Everyone just calls him, invites him, puts him up, this is great, 1 hour, 2 hour lectures and everything is found. I said, subhanallah, now what do the children get of life and which side of the stick have they picked up? Why you want to become? Easy, man, it's a great life, it's a found life, it's a provided life. I said, my son, come and speak and then see what it is all about. مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ عِلْمًا مِمَّا يُبْتَغَى بِهِ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ. The woman who acquires the knowledge of deen with the evil intent, with all her knowledge and with all his knowledge, Allah will throw him in hell. So the intention has to be clean. So anyway, the first person is a sister or a brother whom Allah gave knowledge of deen. And Allah gave wealth also. So he has the best of both the worlds. He's pious and he's wealthy. He really has a stable. He's got himself covered relatively well. He's got an Islamic approach, an Allah conscious approach, and he has wealth. عَبْدٍ رَزَقَهُ اللَّهُ عِلْمًا وَمَالًا فَهُوَ يَتَّقِي فِيهِ رَبَّهُ وَيَسِلُ فِيهِ رَحِمَهُ فَهَذَا بِأَفْضَلِ الْمَنَازِلِ. So he is a very intelligent man. He fears Allah with his money, he fears Allah with his health, with his knowledge, whatever he has, and he spends with that wealth in the path of Allah, joining the ties with the poor, helping the needy. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said he is the best of people. Allah gave him health, Allah gave him wealth, Allah gave him knowledge, that's the key word. And he uses it in obedience of Allah. Then comes the second person. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, عَبْدٍ رَزَقَهُ اللَّهُ عِلْمًا وَلَمْ يَرْزُقْهُ مَالًا. There's another category, Allah gave that sister knowledge. Allah gave that brother knowledge of deen, meaning piety, Allah consciousness. But he or she doesn't have wealth. So they're not wealthy, they're not affluent. They're breaking even, living head to mouth, passing the days and moving on. But like any human who doesn't have wealth, inherently we all aspire for wealth. When the riches came into Medina, Umar radiallahu anhu said, oh Allah, I am not among those who say that I don't like wealth. Because we all like it. I am asking you, Allah, let me use it in your obedience. I am not saying, oh Allah, I don't like it. I am saying, but he used to cry. When the spoils of Iraq and it came, he cried. So Abd al-Rahman ibn Awf said, هَذَا يَوْمُ سُرُورٍ. This is a day of joy. He said, don't you know the side effects of wealth? You know they tell you in the fine print, you must read the reverse side of the leaflet. But it's so small that you can't read it very well. But anyway, drowsiness, headache, sickness, constipation, long-term usage can lead to critical conditions and all the rest of it. This is the side effects. He said, don't you know the side effects of wealth? So Abd al-Rahman ibn Awf said, no, I don't know. He said, the side effects of wealth is jealousy, pride, antagonism, severing of ties. This is part of the package of wealth. These are all the side effects of wealth. So you take the tablet, it comforts your headache, you feel nice, but long term it is making its damage into the system. So Umar radiallahu anhu used to say, Allah, this money, let us use it in your deen. ما أنعم الله على عبد بنعمة أوفى من العافية وكل من عوفي في جسده فهو في عيشة راضية والمال حلو حسن جيد على الفتى لكنه عارية ما أحسن الدنيا لكنها مع حسنها غدارة فانية. The poet said, there's nobody who has a greater gift than good health. وَكُلُّ مَنْ عُوفِيَ فِي جَسَدِهِ فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةِ الرَّاضِيَةِ. And if you have good health, then consider yourself a king. وَالْمَالُ حُلْوٌ حَسَنٌ جَيِّدٌ. And wealth enhances the beauty of a young man. He's young, he's in his prime, and he has wealth. It just makes him so much more wholesome. It makes him so much more attractive. مَا أَحْسَنَ الدُّنْيَا لَكِنَّهَا مَعَ حُسْنِهَا غَدَّارَةٌ فَانِيَةٌ. How beautiful this world is, but with its beauty, it's equally deceptive. One of my scholars used to tell us, the condition of this world is like an elderly woman who has put a lot of makeup on her face. So she's done a lot of, makeup, and she's covered herself and cosmetic surgery. So at a distance, she looks young, she looks charming, she looks stunning, she looks attractive, and you are tempted to her. But as you get closer to her and that makeup starts fading away, you start seeing the wrinkles and the crinkles on her face. And you say, oh, she's aged. She's really moved on. But she was looking so young and attractive from a distance. Well, this is this world, my sister. This is this world, my brother. It looks glittering. It looks gold. But as you get into it, it sucks you in. It swallows you in. It turns you in. It makes many a times people forsake their parents, forsake their law, forsake their deen. So it comes with a price. Anyway, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the second sister or brother is the person whom Allah gave piety, but Allah did not give her the wealth of this world. عَبْدٍ رَزَقَهُ اللَّهُ عِلْمًا وَلَمْ يَرْزُقْهُ مَالًا فَهُوَ الصَّادِقُ النِّيَّةِ. But this sister and this brother has good intentions. What's the topic? Good intention. So what does the sister say? What does this brother say? لَوْ أَنَّ لِي مَالًا لَعَمِلْتُ فِيهِ بِعَمَلِ فُلَانٍ. If Allah ever gives me money, if Allah ever gives me money, then I will also do good things like so and so. If Allah gives me money, I will help the poor. If Allah gives me money, I will do this. But it's easy to say when you don't have it. You can promise your wife, you know what, if I had money, I would have taken you, but you didn't know the 13th check is coming. When the 13th check comes, then you say, my wife doesn't know. You start with the fridge needs a repair and the kitchen needs to be refurbished. Muhammad ibn Munkadir was one of the great tabi'is of Islam. He came to our mother Aisha radiallahu anha. He said, I'm in a crisis. Aisha radiallahu anha said, I'm so sorry, I don't have a dime with me. But you're such a person, if I had 10,000 dirhams, I wouldn't hesitate and I wouldn't wink my eye, I would have given it to you. He walks out, someone knocks on the door. Is Aisha radiallahu anha present? She says, yes. He said, I've just got a humble gift. And he comes and drops the 10,000 dirhams in the lap of Aisha. Aisha radiallahu anha looked at the heavens and she said, oh my Allah, you put my words to test instantly. Oh my Allah, you put my words to test instantly, Allah. You put me on the line immediately. I barely committed and here you gave it. Aisha radiallahu anha, she was Aisha. She was the daughter of Abu Bakr. She was the wife of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She was not my Aisha or your Aisha. She didn't grow up in the lap of luxury. She grew up a life of abstinence. Imam Zuhri said, لو جمع علم الناس كلهم وعلم عائشة. Put the knowledge of the whole world one side and put the knowledge of Aisha one side. Her knowledge is greater than the whole world together. Abu Musa Ash'ari said, ما اشتكل علينا أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم شيئا إلا سألنا عائشة. We, that is Sahaba, Abu Musa Ash'ari said, every time we couldn't resolve a hadith, we used to go and knock the door. Can we speak to our mother Aisha? Explain to me this hadith. There was no shuruat those days. No commentary. Imagine what a profound legacy of Aisha that even the prominent Sahaba knocked the door. Aisha radiallahu anha said, call Muhammad ibn Munkadir. He was still walking out. Said, what happened? He said, Aisha radiallahu anha is calling you. And she gave him the 10,000 dirhams and he said, Allah has tested me, this is what I told you, and here the money is.
Yeah, the money is.
So the second person, he is the one who is sincere in the intentions. Allah will test you. Easy to say. Talk is cheap. I read a nice article in the paper the other day. They say talk is cheap. The only thing that is cheap, even when there's a credit crunch, is talk. They say it's biting through the economy and there's ripple effects. And you know what? There is this economic meltdown. Everything can drop down, but talk is cheap. Even in a crisis, talk is cheap. So it's easier said than done. So the second person, my sister, is Allah gave her knowledge, but she doesn't have wealth, but she is sincere. What does she say? لَوْ أَنَّ لِي مَالًا لَعْمِلْتُ فِيهِ بِعَمَلِ فُلَانٍ. If Allah give me, I will use my money to help the poor to do this. Now what did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? فَأَجْرُهُمَا سَوَاءٌ. The first person owned money, built madrasas, helped people, dug wells, assisted the poor, and entered Jannah. The second person didn't own a dime, but aspired to own, to do good. Nabi alayhi salam said, in Jannah, they both will be on the same and a common level. Allah will not differentiate between them. Why? Because their intention was. But obviously, Allah knows the intention. The intentions were clean. The third person. عَبْدٍ رَزَقَهُ اللَّهُ مَالًا وَلَمْ يَرْزُقْهُ عِلْمًا. He is the wicked person. The second was fortunate out of the two. He or she had knowledge, they didn't have wealth. The third is it's reversed. The person has wealth, doesn't have piety, doesn't have deen, doesn't have Allah in his or her life, but has wealth. You know, ample of wealth, abundance of wealth. So because of the wealth, the luxury of wealth, so he or she feels that I am at liberty. The biggest statement or the most harmful statement we can make is we consider our leisure time and our surplus wealth as our personal commodity. It belongs to me. This is my time. I have no time. أَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَىٰ. Allah is watching us and we are answerable to Allah at every second. So the third person has wealth, but that person does not have any piety, does not have any deen. So that person abuses his or her wealth in evil, in vice, and we see today the places of sin that is happening. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to those who use their wealth in his disobedience as the brothers of the devil. إِنَّ الْمُبَذِّرِينَ كَانُوا إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ وَكَانَ الشَّيْطَانُ لِرَبِّهِ كَفُورًا. Verily those who waste their wealth. There are two terms in the Quran. One is israf, one is tabdeer. Israf means to be extravagant in lawful things. So you go, you know, on a very extravagant choice, lawful, legitimate, permissible, that you could buy a watch for $100 or $200. Suddenly you buy a watch for $10,000 for a brand, for a name, for a particular like or choice or whatever. That is israf, where you exceed the limits in permissible things. And then there is tabdeer, and tabdeer means to spend in unlawful and forbidden things. So in unlawful things, even if it is a cent, even if it is a penny, even if it is a rupee, even if it is just a meager amount, it is forbidden because it is in the disobedience of Allah. So those who spend in evil, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they are the brothers of the devil. In Bayanul Quran, it is mentioned what is the common thread between them and the devil. Allah gave the devil intellect, he abused his intellect against Allah. He used his logic against Allah. Allah gave you wealth, you're using your wealth against Allah. So effectively, abuse of the bounties of Allah, this is how they become the brothers of the devil. So the third person, she doesn't have the knowledge of deen, she has wealth, she abuses her wealth. Nabi alayhi salam said, فَهَذَا بِأَخْبَثِ الْمَنَازِلِ. This is the most wicked out of the four person, and he will suffer, or she will suffer the worst abode in hell. Now comes the fourth person. Tragic indeed. No piety, and no wealth. So doesn't have the good, the first person was the best, has the best of both the worlds, the consciousness of Allah, the piety as well as wealth. Really enjoys a good life. The fourth person devoid of both. No deen, no wealth. Because, now listen to this is the key thing. Because of the absence of piety, she or he also desires wealth, but with evil intentions. Common to the second, aspiring for wealth because the second and the fourth didn't have. There's the hadith of Tirmidhi. I mean, look at Nabi alayhi salam's explanation. How wholesome. You can just marvel at this diagram. So the fourth is common to the second, that there's no wealth. So they both aspire for wealth. The second is piety, so aspiring for the right reason. The fourth doesn't have piety, so aspiring for the wrong reason. Nabi alayhi salam said, if I own money, I'll also go to a club, I'll also go to a casino, I'll also do this, I'll also do that. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, فَوِذْرُهُمَا سَوَا. The fourth person loves like a pauper, dies like a pauper. But because she desired to own money for the wrong reason, she will suffer the same consequences like the third person who spent his or her money in evil and vices. So effectively, either you own it or you aspire to own it. When you aspire to own it, either you have good intentions or evil intentions, and accordingly Allah will categorize us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept this institution, the sisters and the staff, the asatiza and everyone. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purify our heart and our mind and our thoughts of all evil intentions and give us cleanliness of intentions in everything that we do. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم اجعل اجتماعنا هذا اجتماعا مرحوما وتفرقنا من بعده تفرقا معصوما ولا تجعل فينا ولا منا ولا معنا شقيا ولا محروما اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان اللهم اجعلنا من الراشدين اللهم اهد شباب المسلمين واجعلهم هداة مهتدين اللهم اهد نساء المسلمين اللهم ارزقهن الحياء والعفاف والإيمان اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله.
For more lectures, visit slhub.com.